2 Peter. As we begin our study in 2 Peter this Sunday morning, that's how we ought to come to church right there, like running, excited. 2 Peter is a great book. It's really the overview of the study will be for the whole book is a sure foundation and how important that is for us today in the world that we live in. So many slippery slopes, it seems, and people that lead us in the wrong way. And how is it, what is it that we believe and why do we believe it and how important that is? And today as we begin this great study, we'll be looking at God's most precious gift. God's most precious gift. Take, if you would, in your hand your Bible, whether it's electronically or you have a copy, and we're going to reference the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter, stand to your feet as we read. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. The Word of God says this: Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, God, that You'll touch our hearts. Speak to us right where we're at for Your glory in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. We need to understand and lay the context out of this great book before we begin in it. As we know, we finished in 1 Peter, and 1 Peter was all about, and this 2 Peter is actually written to the same churches, but 1 Peter was about the persecution that they were receiving, they were facing at that time, right in the time, but right before Nero's great persecution, but it had already started. And so he's dealing with this persecution from the outside, if you please. And then when we get to 2 Peter, we know that in verse 14, he's seeing his imminent death, just like in 2 Timothy, when he writes to Timothy. We know that Peter is getting ready to face death. And so we're thinking about this last words and how you want. They have great, they have this gravitas, don't they? They have this weight to them that means so much, last words, and many of us could talk about loved ones that's passed and last words and how they mean so much. And so Peter is, he's talking to these churches, giving his last words before he leaves this earth, and he's wanting to deal with not persecution from the outside, but false teaching that is coming from the inside. And how important that is as we get into these verses to understand that he's dealing with false teachers. He knew that they would arise after he died. And we know that many of the apostles preached in this way. And he's facing these things. And he wants the church to face those. And he wants them to grow in the truths that lead to this maturity in Christ. And this stability, that sure foundation is found in that growth in Christ. And that stability that comes with it. Do you know that there's over $1 trillion spent every year on health care, on health, medical problems, medical things that we deal with? And so there's certain type of medicine, certain kind of health care that's called PM. What would that be? PM. It's not preventative maintenance like you would say in the manufacturer, but it's preventative medical care. So you have this whole line here in healthcare that has to do with preventative care. And many of us, we take preventative medicines to keep things from happening to us. How many of you got the flu shot this year? The rest of you say, I don't like that thing. It gives me the flu. Why don't we take a flu shot? Which, by the way, I was teaching the kids this. It's just a little bit of flu that blew their mind. You mean they're giving me a shot of flu? I said, that's what an inoculation is. It's a little bit so your body builds up immunities. And so we do this. Why don't we take the flu shot? Hopefully that it keeps us from getting the flu, right? It's preventative. And so Peter is giving them this preventative care when it comes to spiritual health as well. He's saying there's some things that you can have in place. Here's the truth. How will you know if somebody stands in here, up here, how do you know that I'm teaching you the truth of God's Word? How do you know if you don't have this preventative care in place that you don't know the Word for yourself, that you or he's just telling you great stories. We all love stories. But the truth is, none of them is the Word of God, and none of us help us spiritually in that it directs us to a right relationship with God through Christ, and that it helps us to grow in personal sanctification. There's that word. That preacher beats us up about personal sanctification. Why? Because it's all through the Scripture. You're going to see it today. And preaching expositionally, you see it time and time again as we go through these books of the Bible. It comes up, this idea. Peter is wanting them to know, hey, have some preventative medicine here spiritually. Know your Word and know when it's false teaching. Know when people come and teach you what's wrong or goes contrary against God's Word. Whose place is that? Yours. All of us. Is it not? And Peter's letting them know that. And his fear, Peter's greatest fear was, and listen, it should be ours, that the next generation that grows up behind us doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know the things of God. Whose responsibility is it to make sure they do? It's ours. And he realizes that we're just a generation away from losing the things of God if we don't teach them and pass them on. We see that in Old Testament, Moses, teach your children these things. Just as like James was talking about today in the Old Testament, time and time again, he said, do these in their life so they know these things, know these scriptures. And when they see it and they ask you these questions, these are the reason why. And so it's this ongoing process. The truth is, we've got the baton right now. Many has run that came before us. We have the baton now. It's our job to pass it on to the next generation. And my, the generation that we have coming behind us here at this church. You want to step into the nursery? Good gracious. It's like, how did those women put up with that? Thank God. Women and men. But that's a great problem to have in kids, having too many kids. Hey, listen, there's no such thing as too many kids, by the way. Why? We teach, somebody could, wait a minute, what? Now you have to tend to question that? Wait a minute. Hey, that's why you get your parents' night out, look, get your break. Pitch that. Listen, but truthfully, it's our blessing of life, these little ones that we have here, these young ones that are coming up, that one day the truth is, listen, I hope this don't take you by surprise. We're all going to die if Christ tarries. One out of one of us, 100%. And the truth is, they'll take our place. What will we leave them as an example? That's huge. And Peter's wanting his church to realize, hey, listen, you need to remind them this recollection of the church, of the things that he's taught them. And he's telling the fundamental truths. And so when we think one of the greatest truths and one of the greatest keys that we can never forget, why is it that we have to be reminded? We forget. Boy, that happens more and more at my house. I don't know about yours. See, the older I get and the more things that's going on, I meant to do that. Does anybody else suffer that, or is it just me? Why is it that we're all constantly reminded? It's because we forget, and life has a way of taking our focus off that which is important. And so there's some keys to keeping us from getting confused. Do you understand that God is not the author of confusion? Scripture says that. And so when we're confused, we need to step back and understand the truths of God's Word. And he said there's some way that these false teachers were coming in and trying to pull them away from the things of God and the orthodoxy of Scripture. And there's a way when we get confused over that, we need to step back and say, okay, how do I know? Do you understand a counterfeit? Do you understand how they teach you in the bank whenever you're dealing with money? They don't give you all, they don't lay out all on the table all these counterfeit bills and say, you need to learn what this looks like. What do they give you? The real thing. And you study and you become a student of the real thing. Guess what? Counterfeits can't get by you because you're a student of what is real. Come on, that can apply to our lives. When you become a student of the real thing and the truths of God's Word, you'll know automatically when a counterfeit is trying to slip by. Now, so Peter's letting him know that there's some keys to this keeping us from getting confused, and he's reminding them of God's most precious gift, and that's salvation. I want you to know something this morning. If you don't know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ today, that's the most precious gift that God's laying out there for you. That gift, got the privilege of teaching my little kids, Awanas, they gave me, they preached popcorn with the pastor. Look, on Wednesday night, Wednesday night before this, but I sit down with them and get to teach them and share the gospel with each and every one and tell them that I love them, and I do, and I care for each and every one, and I'm here if you need me in any way. And I teach them about, talk the last little group, which is young, and they ain't a whole lot they can hold on to, but Ottman said, Miss Sandy said you had something for me. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I had a little piece of candy back there for each one of them. And I said, here's what I got for you. I said, what is it? It's a piece of candy. I said, here, take it. And they took it. I said, that's a gift. I said, did you earn that? No, it's just a gift. God's most precious gift. You don't have to earn it. Listen, all you have to do is receive it. And God will take care of the rest. Listen, my friend, if Satan's telling you you need to get this or that right, or he's dealing with your past and you've got all this garbage, how many of us don't? Don't carry that around. Lay it at Christ's feet. And you know what? You let him take care of it. He'll clean the rest. Okay? It's a gift. God's most precious gift, salvation. I want us to see in verse 1, its source. What is the source of this gift of salvation? Look what the scripture said, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He opens this epistle with a standard salutation, but he's also identifying himself as the author, Peter is. But I want you to think, he says, Simon Peter, I love those two words. Remember, Simon was shaky and Peter rock, and his even in the title of his own name, he's showing the grace of God that's came into his own life, and he's emphasizing, listen, I'm glad that he don't emphasize his rank first, but what is he emphasizes himself as a relationship bondservant, a doulos. Doulos. That's what the word means. A bondservant, a menial servant. He recognized, Peter emphasizes his relationship with Christ first. He's just a bondservant of Christ, and he identifies himself humbly and gratefully in a position of submission and duty unto the Lord and obedience, because then he says an apostle. That's with a capital A, by the way. There wasn't but 11 after Judas revealed himself. I don't believe there's apostles today. This was a unique group that God used, 11 men, to change the world. Let me make it real and relevant. How do I know they changed the world? Well, look around. Pretty good group here, Todd, today, because of what they did and their obedience to God. And so he viewed himself humbly, but he also showed himself in this. He's nobly showing, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And that means, by the way, that capital A means you spent time with Jesus. You saw Jesus. You learned from Jesus. And oh, how Peter learned. He was the one that stepped out on the boat when Jesus came, and the rest of them was scared to death. It was a ghost. Lord, bid me to come to you. What'd he do? Stepped right out of the boat. How many of us would have got out of the boat on the stormy seas, man? He stepped out of the boat and he said, oh, what'd he do? He looked around at the wind, and before you know it, he said, Jesus, save me! Jesus, right there. Come on, oh, you of little faith. I thought, wonder if that's little faith. What about the rest of the crew that's in the boat and never got out of the boat? Well, we can find ourselves in that, but that's another message. Let's go on. Listen, Peter, he's the one that, I'll never deny you, and yet the little girl, slave girl in the garden there at the high priest, I don't know him. Yet God used him mightily, and he's writing this book to us that we can glean from it today. He's addressing those that are grounded in the faith as well. It's not just for him, but what does he say? To those who have obtained this precious faith with us by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's writing to the church. He's writing to us. He's writing to the people and the children of God. And he's saying, look, we've obtained this light faith. Peter's not saying, I've got something you got that you ain't got. You know what he's saying? He's saying, we're all together. Family. Please hear me this morning. Nobody greater, nobody lesser in the family of God. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. A pastor is no more greater than the people that sit in the pew. He has the same God, Holy Spirit, has the same God that saved him that saved you. In fact, the standard is the same for the pulpit and the pew. Aren't you glad God did it that way? And Peter's letting them know who have obtained this precious faith with us by the righteousness of God. No righteousness in and of itself. Not a righteousness because of being a doulos. Not a righteousness of being an apostle. But the righteousness that Christ has implanted in his life. And that's all of us sitting here. None righteous, no, not one. Except for the imputed righteousness of Christ in our life. Woo! That ought to make somebody shout. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. He says, look, we haven't obtained. We received it. It's like that gift that we're talking about to those kids. We didn't work for it. We didn't earn it. Christ did it all, man. It's the thought of that great exchange of 2 Corinthians 5:21. He that knew no sin became sin for us that we might receive the righteousness of God through Christ. Listen, positionally, I am in Christ. The blood of Christ has been applied to my life. Everything, that means all the past that I'm accused of, all the present, all the future, is under the blood of Christ. You don't have to. You're no longer a slave to sin. No longer can the Satan accuse you of stuff that's come under the blood of Christ unless you allow him to. Be encouraged this morning. Peter identifies his faith in the same kind of faith. It's valuable and it's precious by the righteousness of God and the Savior Jesus Christ. The source of salvation is Jesus. The only way. None comes any other way except by him. Secondly, look at its substance, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So he pronounces this. The first thing he says, remember he ended, all through his first book he talked about grace and peace. Why is that important? That is the substance of this salvation. That is what, when we are applied and that righteousness is applied to our life, we have peace with God and this grace has been, peace comes forward. And he's telling them, look, it's in that knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I love what he says, don't miss those little words. Be multiplied to you. See, a lot of us are dissatisfied. We get saved and it's all right. We're not multiplied. This multiplied means it's not stagnant. It's ongoing. It's daily walk with him. It's growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's that knowledge that we come to know through that relationship with him and spending time with him. It's not stagnant. He says, be multiplied. Multiplied. And so it's this ongoing that we see, and we see this boundless flow of divine favor that the believers receive through grace, but it also through every trial that we face, there's a peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Good to have Carol back from her surgery. Thought about that peace. Carol, it takes peace, isn't it, when you wake up and you damage your eye and you think, oh my goodness, all these scenarios, and here she is sitting here. And can see me, I'm here, right, Carol? You can see me. We could go on the rest of the room and talk about God's peace and his grace and how it's applied to our life. It's not always easy, is it? Can anybody say amen? It's not always easy. Life is not easy, and sometimes it throws many curveballs. But aren't you glad? No, God doesn't get caught off guard by anything. And he has this plan and this purpose, and he's working it all out for his glory. Wow. That's grace and peace. And he says, be multiplied. And it comes through that knowledge, this richness of being in that relationship. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing by what? The Word of God. Our faith is increased by the Word of God. If you are saved and you have a relationship with Christ, are you reading his Word? Are you a student of his Word? Are you applying his Word to your life? That's how that's how grace and peace is multiplied to us. How do you encourage somebody when they've lost a loved one or they get the C word, cancer, coming in their life and all these things? Oh, you show grace and you show peace and you let them know that you love them and you're praying. We're fixers, I said in Sunday school class. We want to fix everything. Your words sometimes do more damage than good. Everybody say amen. Just love them. Tell them you love them. You're praying. And if you've been where they are, bring comfort by saying, I've stood right where you're at. I don't know what it is about that. People just find comfort in somebody that can relate to them in their pain and their suffering. Genuine salvation is required for this. This is not somebody that has this my knowledge of Christ, that this comes through a true relationship with Christ that has transformed you. Which, by the way, I noticed the 28th when the kid's not out. What greater night? That's my born-again birthday. Whew. February 28th, 1990. That's how old I am in Christ. I came to know the Lord. How do I have such a date? Listen, if you know me before and you knew me now, you'd know why. I'm chuckling in myself in my brain, because I'm your pastor. God's got a sense of humor, okay? If you just knew where He's brought me from. Wow, and to get the kids the Bible study of them that night. Share Christ. Why? It's an ongoing thing. It's multiplied. Man, this grace and this peace, if He can bring grace and peace into my life, can He not bring it into others? And he allows us to be the catalyst to bring that. That's tremendous. It's not in a vacuum. It's growing. It's growing and multiplying. Knowing the Lord, He points us. Man, it points us in this direction. And He gives us this foundation, this sure foundation that's based upon this precious gift of salvation that gets us through anything daily. Not a one-time walking aisle, never change situation, but a receiving Christ as our personal Savior and being transformed into His likeness daily. Daily. Because last we see its sufficiency. Look at that in verses 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue by which we have been given, He's been given to us its exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So He said, listen, this is the sufficiency of this precious gift. Yes, the substance is grace and peace, but look what it does in our life. We have this power, this provision that's grounded in a relationship or is given to us. Hear me and hear me again, please. Christ delivered us from the penalty of sin in the past. He delivers us from the power of sin in the present, and He will deliver us from the presence of sin in the future. That's total. That's the total package, okay, of grace. It's covered. To whom much is given, much is required. And we should live this out. There's no reason for us to doubt the sufficiency of God's grace. Why? First is His divine power. Look what it says. As His divine power has given to us. Well, how powerful that. Well, on Wednesday nights, we're learning, we're going through Genesis, and His power spoke it all into existence. The very sun that you see beaming in this window right here on day 4, He said, let there be, and it was so, is what it says. And when I read it, He talks about the animals and the birds and the great sea creatures and you. And guess what? He didn't say it took a billion years that you grew in this form. He said it, and it was so. That's God. That's the God you serve. This power that God did with that, this same power dwells within you as a believer, if you're His believer. Wow, the sufficiency of that in his power it's given us. But not that. Look at His divine provision. What does it say? All things that pertain to the life and godliness. What does all mean? All means all. That's all means. Everything. All the provisions that you need. All things that pertain to life and godliness. You want to grow in your grace and knowledge of Christ? You can through His power and through His provision. He's given you His Word. He's given you His Holy Spirit. He's given you the same 24 hours that we've always had. You're not too busy. It's just that we need to prioritize our lives. I've always noticed, and my wife can say amen, I'll make out the time to do the things that I want to do. Amen. That's the truth. We say that we don't have no time. Listen, we cannot neglect this time because we grow in it. His provision, He said He's given us all things that pertain to life. He equips us for sanctification, that growing daily. He allows you. Do you have that hunger to grow daily? If you don't have that hunger, first you need to check up and make sure that Christ is in you. Secondly, if you don't have that hunger, you need to prioritize and see where your focus is, because it might be that the world is that black hole of the world is sucking everything out of you, and you don't have time for the Lord. Listen, that is a sad place to be. Because He says He's given us all things. Because look, divine procurement. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. He has called us to salvation. He has called each and every one of us. It wasn't that you chose God. He chose you. Come on. Do you think he saw any goodness in us whatsoever? No. There's no goodness except in me, Christ Jesus, and him crucified. That's what Paul said as well. He called us, so he's taking care of all of it. He gives us the power. He gives us the provision. He takes care of everything. And lastly, please hold all of this. You want something to get you through? The divine promises. Look what it says. By which you have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What a way to end this little scripture here and telling you, you know what? The divine promises is what you have to count on. Having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. He's saying, listen, you've escaped. You're no longer a slave to sin. You don't have to act like the world. You don't have to look like the world. Why? He's taking care of it through the divine promises. And he said, he who has begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. Listen, it's us. Why are we so weak and anemic spiritually? Is because we don't understand what has been provided for us through Christ. Oh, man, listen, it's not just about getting some fire insurance and say, oh, I'm not going to hell. Is that all your relationship with Christ is and how great that is? But he means so much more for you than that. He wants you to have this intimate relationship with him, that you spend time and you rest upon his promises. And listen, don't overlook this before we finish. That we may be partakers of the divine nature. Listen, not only was I adopted into the family of God, he made me a child of God. Dave Cooper, James David Cooper, born April 14th, 1962. You see, that's when I was born under the city. I was a citizen of America under the flag of the United States of America. I'm an American citizen, but February 28, 1990, I was born under the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. I became a citizen of heaven. My allegiance now is to my home in heaven. Am I, boy, I'm patriotic as you can get, but my allegiance is to my citizenship in heaven. I became a child of God, and you did as well if you received Christ as your personal Savior. And because of that, I don't act like the world. I don't look like the world. I don't make my decisions like the world. I make my decisions through the power of Christ that's in me. And this is the goal. This is not, well, it's not the goal. It should be the starting block of our walk with Christ. Not just, yes, to be more Christ-like, but we've got to start somewhere. We have to start understanding that the power, the provision, all these things he's given us and the promises that we can rest on, he's taking care of. And we can face 2020. Which, by the way, in your second month, with this fortitude, knowing that he is taking care of all things. Linda, come and play, and we'll have our applications. First, we're going to just what we're talking about. This, the first month of 2020 is over. How have you grown in the Lord? Boy, that's getting in a nitty-gritty. How have you grown in the Lord? If you're not growing, you're not hovering. See, we like to think we've reached a plateau and we just stay there. I'm just going to rest here for a while. No, you're not going forward, you're going backwards, my friend. If you're not growing in, if you haven't grown in the Lord, you're going backwards. Is that how we're going to do 2020? Number two, stand on our feet. Why do we allow the things of the world to distract us? What in this world is worth what we learned from Peter today? What can compare to the salvation that we have in Christ and growing in grace in him? What compares? Nothing. Number three, when was the last time you invited somebody to come to church? Well, that's a strange request. You know why I do that? I kind of have to revert back because I'm always asking you to share the gospel with people. But if you're not inviting people to church, you sure ain't sharing the gospel. You're just not. And so let's just invite people to come to church. I promise you I'll share them the gospel. That Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he died on a cross, that he was buried, but he rose again on the third day. You put your trust in that, he'll save you right now. Right now. Bow your heads before the Lord. Somebody's dealing with it. Who here needs salvation in the Lord? Who needs to come to know Christ. The altar's open. Come and receive Jesus. Don't let your past, whatever he might be reminding you of right now, don't you say, you know what? Jesus, that preacher said, and I just heard it from God's Word, that, hey, he'll forgive me of my sins, and he'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness. What is it the Lord's saying to your life? Ground is level at the foot of the cross, my friend. Just receive Christ. Just receive Christ. Number two, what about that first question? Have you grown in the Lord? Have you grown in your walk with the Lord? In this month that's went by, and I promise you they're just going to keep on clicking off. If you don't purpose in your heart, you will not. You know, you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Every time. Have you grown in your walk with the Lord? When's the last time you loved somebody enough just to reach out to them in Jesus' name? Just say, you know what? I love you. Let me tell you about what Jesus has done for me. Won't you come out to church and, you know what, if you can come here and not feel welcome, then something's wrong. So we should be the most loving and welcoming people in the world. Why? We've been given grace and peace, and people all see it in our life. What's God saying to you? I'm not going to turn on. Altar's open. Some are praying. What about you? As Linda keeps playing, listen to me. Listen well. You don't have to walk an aisle. It's not walking in the aisle that makes you saved. It's not this routine that you go through. It's the realization that I am a sinner. I've never received Christ. And I know that through the preaching of the Word, the Holy Spirit is beating my heart up. And I need to right now just say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And I turn to you. And I'm asking you to come into my life and change it and let me live for Christ. You know what the Scripture says? All those that call on the name of the Lord, what's God's people? What does He say? Will be saved, shall be saved. Not, I guess will be saved, or I sure hope so, but will. But I promise you, if you've received Christ, you're going to let somebody know it because it's one of the greatest things, the most precious gift that we'll have. I love you. Look here. 5 o'clock. You know why we done that? You heathens now is going to stay at home. You come on out to church and still make it home. You still make it home, all right? Because we love you. Anything that we can ever do for you, if I can help you spiritually in any way, that's why I'm here. And I love you, and I want you to know Christ, and I want you to know His salvation, and I want you to grow in Him. And so that's what I'm here for, and I'm here for you. Lee closes in prayer. Yes?
And I have ordered books for everybody. Should be enough for everybody, but the books are free, and anybody can come out. I just want to encourage all the ladies to come out. It's going to be a great study. And if you want to just come and sit and listen, that's fine. You don't have to talk if you're somebody that don't like to talk. Or we'll be discussing too. So there's no homework with it that you have to take home in your book or anything.